Well, good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is cold outside, but it is going to be warm in here. If you're visiting with us today, I want to give you a special welcome. And those that are viewing this on our webpage, we invite you to come and be a part of our worship service, both here in our contemporary service, the launch, as well as our divine service. Today, just a few announcements. If you've got your bulletin with you, grab your bulletin. The Asbury Food Pantry. Man, in 2018, they handed out over 6,000 pounds of food. 6,000 pounds of food and served, just what we have record of, over 1,000 people. That's not to count the packages that were handed out past that. Well, now they're in need of our help. And you can see some of the items up there: peanut butter, spaghetti, rice, pasta, mac and cheese, canned chicken, cereal that they need. Their shelves are getting empty. And with this partial government shutdown, we may be serving more families that are in need trying to make the ends meet. So please help out where you can. Check your pantry for stuff and, you know, just bring it in the office. I know that they would be very, very thankful for that. Registration is currently open for ACCDC for the 2019-2020. Believe it or not, we're already talking about that. School year, and it's open to church members, current students, and also those siblings. So if you've got somebody in your family, let them know. Pastor Mary is going to continue her Bible study about understanding the basics of the Bible. I know she went through Genesis and Exodus. I'm not sure what book she's in this coming Tuesday, but everybody is welcome. If you haven't been, come on. And it's going to be at 5:30 in the small conference room down in our offices. Just as a reminder, the church offices are going to be closed tomorrow in observance of Dr. Martin Luther King Day, so we will not be there. So if you call, just leave a message, and we'll get back to you on Tuesday. Women's Bible study. It's entitled Breathe. Breathe, Making Room for Sabbath. It's going to be by Priscilla Shirer. It's going to be the United Methodist Women is going to be hosting this. Child care is available. You see Laura's email address up there for the child care. It's also in your bulletin under the contact. Books are going to be available for purchase at the first class. So all women are invited to come with this five-week study. And one final event, it's not up there on the slide. Mark your calendar for February the 5th. Not this coming Tuesday, but the Tuesday after that. I believe that's February the 5th. I get my weeks all messed up. That's when the next Terrific Tuesday is going to be held. Now, I don't know the details of it, but I heard this morning from the liturgist that they're saying it's going to be the best Terrific Tuesday that they've ever had. If that's not a teaser, I don't know what is. So, there's so much more on the back of the bulletin. Please look at the things going on in the life of our church. And I'd like to invite everybody to stand, and let's welcome each other with the peace of Christ.
Worship with us this morning. Let's go.
Provision through the desert, you see it.
This one's called Who You Say I Am. Because a lot of times we doubt ourselves and other people doubt us. I don't find my identity in who I am. I find my identity in who he thinks I am. We're all made in his image. It's called Who You Say I Am. Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed. Children come forward for an exciting children's moment with Miss Laura.
Well, good morning. Happy Sunday. How's everybody doing today? Here's a question. Did everybody like the snow yesterday? Yes. Did you make enough to make a snow angel? Oh. Yeah, I wish it did too. Did you play in the snow? Did you see the snow, Benjamin? Mm-hmm. All right, so I have a question. Do a lot of y'all go to the library with your families? You do. So do you go into the children's section and you look at a book and you go, oh, that cover looks really interesting. And you pull the book out and you look at the front of the book and you go, I don't want to read that, and put it back. Do you ever do that? Or do you know exactly what books you're going to read? You know about exactly what books. People do that. We'll go and we'll go, oh, that looks an interesting title. And we choose the book and we go, and we might read the back of it and put it up because we don't like it. And the reason why I brought that up today is because Pastor Doug is going to be talking about Jesus and some of the things that he did. And as we were talking about it this week, he talked a lot about how Jesus didn't worry about what people looked on the outside because they were so special on the inside. And we do that, don't we? We may not talk to a friend at school because they may not wear the clothes that we wear, or they don't talk the way that we talk, or they don't eat the same food that we eat. And we don't give them a chance to know who they are inside. Kind of like taking a book off the shelf and not reading, because you know what? That book may have been wonderful. And then you go, oh man, I should have read it. And so what I want to come to you today is that we need to not judge somebody from the outside, but get to know who they are on the inside. Like we say, don't judge a book by its cover. That's right. So if you have friends at school that don't wear the same clothes that you wear, or talk the same way that you talk, or eat, or do not act the same way that you do, remember out Jesus, because Jesus loved everyone, no matter what they looked like on the outside, didn't he? We talk about that. He served everyone, whether they were sick, or they were poor, or they just didn't look like the other people in town. Let's remember that. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the snow that we got yesterday. What a blessing it was to play in. We thank you for the beautiful sun that you gave us this morning. We just ask that we remember Jesus as the great example, to not judge people by what they look like on the outside, but who they are on the inside. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, I love it when the children's moments has a lesson that we can all learn from, right?
Different from his middle brother.
Sometimes children do things a little more simply, as Pastor Doug has said before. And that's a really good lesson today. We're all more alike than we are different. You know, everyone around the world just wants love and acceptance. That's a great message, Ms. Laura. So thank you for that. So as we stand for this next one and continue to worship, you can find your identity in a lot of things. Where you come from, how you were raised, what you believe. But we should all strive to find our identity in Christ, right? It's not easy. But he loves us endlessly. And so just keep that in mind when we stand. I'm droning on today. So stand and sing with us. I was lost, I was in chains, the world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame. When he came for me, and I couldn't run,
I invite you to turn to the portion of your bulletin where some prayer requests are listed. And this by no means is an exhaustive list. We have a lot of needs in our families. There are families that are hurting for several different reasons. But I'm going to read these out as I always do. Janet Brandt. Janet was here this morning. Please pray for her because she is having surgery on Friday. Make that a mental note for you, please. Becky Flynn. Clifford Smith, continue to pray for Bob Thompson and the family at the loss of his spouse, his friend. Gosh, that was just such a neat couple to watch. But yeah, Marilyn's service was this last week, her memorial service. Nell Wilson, for those of you who do not know, you're sitting in the Wilson Activity Center. Nell went to be with her Lord, and I'm sure Bob was there at the gate to meet her. Her memorial service is going to be a private service, graveside service tomorrow, and then there'll be a public reception at Rubel tomorrow after that. And Pat Yancey, please continue to pray for the Pat Yancey family. Her memorial service was here on Thursday. There's just wild. You just see that you know, we hurt because we have lost loved ones. But gosh, if they could tell us what they're seeing right now, oh, wow, what they would be describing, what they would be describing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Bow with me. Our most gracious, loving, caring Heavenly Father, our prayer this morning is simple. Be pleased with our praise and our worship we offer to you. May our songs of praise be sweet in your ears, our words, offerings, and teachings be a fragrance filling your throne room. Grant that all we say and do this morning finds favor with you. Lord, as I just said, there are so many needs among your children, the need for health, the need for comfort, the need for unity. Sickness abounds, and healing is needed. Loved ones have been lost, and there is a need for comforting. And there are divisions in families, so Father, we pray for unity. Remind us, we need to look to you for all our needs, and you will grant them in accordance with your word. Use us, your children, as instruments to give peace, comfort, and unity in your name. Lord, we also lift up our leaders in government at all levels. May they all seek your guidance, your wisdom, and especially your heart as they lead this great nation, a nation founded upon your principles. Bless our nation and this world, that your kingdom will reign until you come again in glory. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As the lights come up and our ushers come forward, I remind you, in the bulletin, this is a time for sharing God's blessings and God's gifts that he has given to us. It's kind of like the movie, Pay It Forward. We need to bless others with the gifts that God has granted us. Let's bless this morning's offering. Dear Lord, we are blessed beyond that which we deserve. We know it. Help us to see the needs of others in the same way you grant our needs and desires. Create in us a giving heart, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your goodness. Let us become more aware. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit is in this room today. We know it's in this room today. We pray that you help that Holy Spirit fill our hearts and come into our lives, bless us, and allow us to hear this message today. And help us, Lord, continue to strive after you in our everyday lives and never lose sight of what's important. In your name we pray. Amen.
We got the memo.
What?
Boots and blue jeans today,
yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Had to dress like my hero Caleb. Team Caleb, hashtag Team Caleb. I kid him about that during the week. Look around, I see, yeah. Most of you are going to know what I'm talking about. Some of you won't, but you'll get it in a minute. We've heard sometime in our lives, better one or two? One or two? Three or four? Three or four? Better three or worse? Yeah. When we're sitting in the optometrist chair trying to read an eye chart through some contraption that we've got on our face as the optometrist keeps switching lenses. And there's so many different, I'm surprised they don't say better 12, better 13, better 12. Until we get down to the final two, and I can't make a decision which one is better and which one is worse. And I just have to say, whatever you want, Doc, it's up to you. You're the expert. I'm just trying to see through mirrors that eye chart over there. The initial issue to this, though, is our eyesight has changed. And we didn't even realize it until we saw a new lens. And we got to see things a whole lot clearer. Today, I'd like for us to take a look at a change that almost went unnoticed by many people. But it wasn't a small change. It was a major change, a shift, if you will, from the old way of looking at things to a brand new vision of the future. If you have your Bibles with you, I hope you do, grab them because we're going to turn to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can read on screen. We're going to start in verse 1 of the second chapter and read through verse 11. It's a familiar passage. But I just pray that these words, that you hear them in a little different way this morning, because we're going to find some nuggets of Jesus in these. Verse 1, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonially washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of God for the people of God. There have been so many questions and so many agreements and disagreements about just this short passage. Whose wedding is this? We don't know. Who's hosting the wedding? Who's the master of the festivities? How long has the wedding festival been going on? Why was Mary there? Why was Jesus and his disciples there? Who did they know? Because it said they were invited. The scriptures only cause us to pose these and other questions, but it does not give up many answers in these 11 verses. We know two things for sure, though. Jesus was posed with a problem by his mother, and he solved the problem quietly with a miraculous change. If you're a student of the Gospels, you know the book of John records miracles, but it only records 7. That's it. Not like the other Gospels. Each one of the miracles chosen by John was chosen for a specific reason. Even though we know Jesus performed many more. The last verse, if you turn to the last verse of the book of John, here's what it says. Jesus did many other things. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. We know Jesus did many more. As an example, in chapter 4, we can read where a government official comes to Jesus and tells him his son is sick and is dying. Jesus said, go back home. He didn't go with him. He said, go home and your son will live. This miracle was chosen by John for a very simple reason. Grace. Grace, pure and simple. Grace. It wasn't anything that the man did that saved his son. His son was saved by his faith in Jesus. I hope that scripture is running through everybody's mind right now, that we are saved by grace and not by works. Perhaps one of the best known miracles, and the only miracle that is listed in all 4 Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves. Jesus feeds 5,000 men, not to even count, because the scriptures don't tell us how many women and children there are. It says there are women and children besides. Jesus fed 5,000 plus, and this miracle was chosen because if we seek the kingdom of God and for Him, seek Him first in His kingdom, He's going to take care of all of our needs, just like the 5,000 plus. John 6:35, it says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. We don't have time this morning to examine all 7. That's going to be a study that we're going to have. But I want to turn the attention back to this wedding at Cana in Galilee. This is the first miracle performed by Jesus that we have recorded. Some argue that he performed other miracles, that calling of the disciples may have been a miracle. They just dropped and they walked away. That's a point of disagreement. But officially, the wedding at Cana is the first. The setting is a wedding. Not to rhyme that. The setting is a wedding with an issue. No wine. You see, a Jewish wedding festival lasts an entire week. And there are many different feasts, if you will, hosted by many people during that week. And I'm sure that week-long festival required a few gallons of wine for the celebration. Well, today, as those of you that know me well, I want to look at 3 things a little bit differently today in the scripture. I'd like to look at, number one, I'd like to look at the jars. The jars. Hang on. Then I'd like to look at the filling of the jars. And much like sitting in the optometrist chair, I'd like to look at the change of focus that occurred because of this miracle. First, the jars. These jars were not small. These were large jars. Scripture tells us they held between 20 and 30 gallons of liquid or of water each. Now, before each meal, it was customary that people would ceremonially wash their feet before entering the house, remove their sandals, and then they would wash their hands. According to the law, if that wasn't accomplished, anything touched by unclean hands was then made unclean itself. We can tell. Remember, though, Jesus said, it's when the Pharisees tried to catch him at this, when his disciples were eating with unclean hands, Jesus told them, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out of his mouth. This is a small picture of that interaction that Jesus is going to have in the future. But according to the law, if that cleansing wasn't accomplished, the food was made unclean. Therefore, think about it. The first thing, the law had to be fulfilled even before the wedding feast started. They had to wash their hands. Scholars, as I've studied this week, believe that these jars, these six jars, were empty or almost empty. Also, these jars, wine was not served from these jars, these big jars. Wine was served from a serving jar. So the water and the wine did not, they were kept separate. But these serving jars, not these cleansing jars, were empty, as Mary told Jesus. I liken these cleansing jars to the law, if you will, and follow me. They were hard. They were hard clay. They were made by man and used to clean the outside of a person. The law itself was hard. It had 613 statutes that God gave to Moses, including the Ten Commandments. And then let's not even count all of the Pharisaical law that was added in on top of the 613 statutes. By doing so, the law could not be completely fulfilled. People fall short of that fulfillment for one reason and one reason only: sin nature. Sin nature. The jars themselves, the six jars, were empty. Whether the water was all used, evaporated, or they weren't being used at all, there were other jars that were being used, we don't know. There may have been countless other empty jars, too. Like the possibility of other jars continuing to add into the ceremonially washing way, the Pharisees constantly added more laws for people to follow. And the Pharisees knew that they couldn't follow, and that's the way they stayed in power, is to continue to add more requirements on the Jewish people. Try as they may, though, the law was never going to be completely fulfilled. If you look at all of the laws, the Pharisaical laws, you can see that the majority of them were concerned with the outside of a person, the appearance and the keeping of that appearance. As an example, you had to wash your feet. You had to wash your hands. You couldn't walk more than a certain distance on the Sabbath. And certainly on the Sabbath, you could do no work, even if that meant walking past somebody laying in a ditch in dire need. You couldn't help them. That was the Pharisaical law. Man's additions to the law, try as it may, could not even compare to the intent that God had with the law that he had given to Moses. The empty jars, useless in their empty state. They were not being used and certainly did not contain the vital liquid necessary according to the law. That has been established. Just ultimately, what we see here is the jars represent an outward cleansing, which, if you think about it, is an important part of the old covenant life. Next, let's look at the actual filling, the filling of the jars themselves. Jesus was approached by Mary, and if you read in John, John always refers to her as the mother of Jesus. Always. It's not Mary, it's the mother of Jesus. And asked Jesus to help with an embarrassing problem. So, to help his mother out, Jesus asked the servant to fill the 6 30-gallon jars with water, and they did so. They followed his instructions. Then he told them to draw out some and take it to the person in charge of the wedding feast. Not the host, but the person that was in charge. May have been a Galilean caterer, so to speak. I don't know. When the man tasted the water, now wine, he praised the host for now bringing out his best wine. But think about it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was a guest. He wasn't a host. He wasn't the master of the festivities. Jesus was just a guest there. It wasn't his problem. But he solved the problem. He took on the responsibility and the shortcomings of the host and made them his own. And he saved the host from embarrassment. And in the process, when you read that the master of the ceremonies elevated the host by praising him for bringing out his best wine, Jesus did that. That, and I can hear the wheels turning out there, is just a glimpse of what we see in the purpose of Jesus coming to earth in the form of a man. Jesus? Sin was not Jesus' problem. And he certainly was not responsible for man sinning. Mankind had fallen short of the glory of God, but he came to earth and took on sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus not only took on our sin, he saves us from the embarrassment of our own sins before the Father. And, everybody should be smiling about this one. He's elevated us. He's elevated us to a place of honor by being a joint heir with him, with Jesus, in all of the riches in heaven. Just like the jars became filled with wine, Jesus fills us with love, the love we need to share with others, a love greater than we could even extend on our own. Lastly, I want us to look at the change of perspective ushered by this miracle, and that's the best slide I could come up with. That just almost looks like something out of a horror movie, doesn't it? As the last part of verse 11 says, he revealed his glory, and the disciples believed in him. Now, up to this point, we don't have any record of any miracles Jesus performed. As we said earlier, John says this was his first miracle. Before this, though, undoubtedly, after Jesus called his disciples, he was walking with them and he was talking with them, and I'm sure they were amazed at his knowledge of the books of Moses and the books of wisdom and the prophets. They were amazed. The verses do not reveal that the disciples saw the jars being filled and the pouring out of the wine. Yet, It says they believed in him just as the servants did. Therefore, they probably saw everything that happened, the filling, the pouring, and they were amazed. Jesus exhibited power over physical things when he performed the miracle. Not only changed the water into wine, but he changed doubting and unbelief on the part of the disciples to belief. That was the change in the perspective. Some little twist here. Jesus didn't tell the servants, go get new jars. Nor did Jesus create new jars out of thin air, as he could have. He didn't. He told them to take the old jars, symbolic, of the old law, the old covenant, if you will, and told them to fill the jars. 180 gallons of wine. That was going to be some party. They didn't need that. They didn't need that. But just like in our lives, when we ask Jesus for help in doing something and we think we know what the answer is, Jesus surprised everybody and goes so much further with 180 gallons of wine when only 30 may be needed. That's how he blesses us. Jesus took what man supplied, the water, and changed it into wine. Wine often associated with the new covenant because of the words Jesus spoke at the Last Supper. Jesus took the old law, the old jars, and he filled them with the new covenant. The new covenant. He took plain water and he turned it into the fruit of the vine. Or better said, as he called himself, the vine changed the water into the fruit of the vine. Isn't that neat? Jesus changed the perspective of everyone in attendance, from the master of the banquet to the servants to the disciples. And think about it, quite possibly, Mary herself, the mother of Jesus. Think about what she may have been thinking. With this first miracle, she had to realize this was the beginning of her son's ministry, but also a beginning of her son pouring himself out, just as they served the wine in the same fashion he was pouring himself out for all of mankind. And Mary probably realized also his eventual death. No, Jesus didn't change the jars or what we said they symbolized this morning, the law. Matthew 5:17 says, in Jesus' words, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. There is so much. We could spend hours, we could spend days on this miracle and everything that surrounds it. Jesus saved the groom from public embarrassment and family embarrassment. Jesus saved the banquet host from embarrassment. Jesus saved the tradition of the wedding festival and kept it intact with more wine than what they possibly needed or could have consumed. But again, let's just look at this from a small saving from an old covenant to a new covenant. Jesus has saved us from embarrassment. He has saved us with a new covenant of grace that he has laid upon us. That is the greatest miracle of all miracles. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for the new covenant. Lord, the law that was given fell so short. We never could fulfill that. But Father, we are covered by grace. We have life everlasting only if we acknowledge you, believe in your Son, and know that he came and he died for our sins. Lord, that is the good news. That is the gospel that we need to tell people about. Father, help us. Help us to realize it is so simple. It is not 613 things that we must do, but just one. Just one. Thank you for your word this morning, and thank you for everything that you do for us each and every day. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like everybody to stand, please. And I want to invite you this morning, where you're at, or there's a prayer rails here. This is a good day, but there is also so much hurting. Maybe in your family, maybe in your life, maybe in others. There have been people that have been on an operating table that they didn't know if they were going to come off the table or not this week. And that was on Friday. I sat with a family that they weren't for sure. But praise God, their dad is better. Don't wait until tomorrow to say, I'm going to start tomorrow and I'm going to just praise God tomorrow. Today is mine. You know, like a song that we played in Maryland's memorial service, and I know you've heard it, it's Long Black Train. There are two things that we can do. We can take that long black train that's driven by the devil, or we can cling to Jesus because there's victory in Jesus. That's the only two options we got. We don't know when that train's going to be here. Make your decision today. You do what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, and do it today. Do it today. If you want me to pray with you, or you want to talk with me, it'd be an honor to pray with you. Be standing right here.
Jesus is calling. Are you hurting the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, oh, come to altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh. Sing this out.
Oh, what a Savior. Sing hallelujah. come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide.
Amen. Amen. Once again, thank you for being here this morning, and those that are visiting by way of our webpage, again, we invite you to come and be a part of this faith family and just feel the love and the warmth that everybody gives and lifts up to the throne room of God. Have a good week. Have a good week, but put a smile on your face. The old, you know, it's cliche, give somebody a smile, it doesn't cost you anything. And besides, a doctor will tell you that you use less muscles smiling than you do frowning. So I guess I could say, save some energy and smile this week. It is going to be a good week. Please bow your head and receive this blessing. Father God, we thank you for being here this morning. We thank you for your presence. Lord, the Holy Spirit, you live inside of us. Help us to honor you every second of every day. We know you're here, and we know you're ready to help us through anything that stands in our way. For that kind of love, we can never repay to you. But Father, we give you all that we have. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.